B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid ass. T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Lightning get the game-winning goal from Tyler Johnson at the 18:33 mark of the third period, snapping a 2-2 tie. The Bruins thus far are 0-2 in round-robin action. Up next will be their last game of the round-robin against the Washington Capitals on Sunday. Your final today, Lightning 3 and the Bruins 2.
All right, fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz. Felger here from the remote a-hole chair location, as I like to say. Marshall Hook and Tony Maserati from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bruins yesterday take on the Tampa Bay Lightning and put up another stinker. It wasn't nearly as bad as their first game, the 4-1 loss to the Flyers. So there was some movement in a positive direction, but still not good enough, not nearly good enough. And I think that if I just had to tie it in a bow, Maz, as I said earlier, I feel like we're seeing a different Bruins team than the one that played the balance of this season. Like, whatever sort of thing they had going, and they did, they had a thing going this year where they felt motivated and focused and, you know, maybe on a mission from losing Game 7 the way they did last year. Whatever it was a really consistent, focused team, and more often than not, took it to the opponent, controlled play, and that's just what they were and that's who they were. And they're not that anymore. They're not. They've come back from this long break, and they've hit in the bubble in Toronto, and they've lost that whole look and feel, their whole identity. And I just want to know what happened. What happened to them in these last 4 months?
Well, it's a good question. I don't have an answer for you. I wish I did definitively, but I don't. And I'll tell you that a couple of things stuck out to me in the game, one of which is that I think when Tampa elevates, I felt this way about the Bruins when they played Tampa for a long time. Tampa can go to a level the Bruins can't go to. Okay, so that's a problem. If they were to play them in a series and Tampa played its best, Tampa wins the series. That's sort of where I end up. I don't think that the Bruins' best is better than Tampa's best. Tampa, to me, has a higher ceiling, for lack of a better term. Secondly, the big problem to me, and this has been the one sort of real consistent thing in the two games, I think their play on D has sucked.
Absolutely.
I think their play on defense has sucked. Again, look at how many times Philly scored by either getting behind the D or picking up loose pucks in the open area in front of the goalie. And I think that Tampa did the same thing. It wasn't as bad in the Tampa game, and there were points where they were a little bit better at it. But that last goal, there were two guys behind the defense. They were ready to pick up the rebound. So, you know, to me, I just think the D-core has been awful.
So something's wrong with them. They feel like they're a little bit of a mess. And it's disappointing for a team that, you know, had every reason this year to sort of have a Stanley Cup hangover and go the other way and lick their wounds and just not have a good year. Instead, they did just the opposite. You know, they came out and were an even better team this year than they were last year in spite of that loss. Maybe because of that loss, whatever the case may be. They were that team all season long. And now all they have to do is, you know, pick it back up and be that team again. Everything's in place, and they can't. They don't have it. And it's like, why? What the F just happened? So I wonder. I also wonder about, again, the layoff hurting the old players, because I think Char has been real shaky. I think Bergeron hasn't been himself. I think Marchand, he's not old, but I think Marchand's been very impactful in this thing. The defense in general, you're right, Maz, is, I mean, even that goal, even the goal that went in off, was it Kalorn's skate? You know, their second goal.
Yeah, right.
Which came off a power play. But go back and look at it and tell me how much room he has. Like, there is Carlos down there. He's not within 10 feet of him. I mean, the defense has just, you're so right, gotten so spotty overnight. And that's this team's calling card. So, oh, and the bad line changes. I think Tampa's third line change, they got behind them because there was a bad line change again. There was a too many men on the ice penalty.
Right.
Like, they can't get out of their own way. And so, like, that is surprising and disappointing for a team that just had it dialed in. They were dialed in all season long. They can't get it back. And I think they're in real trouble. I think they're in real trouble now.
So I hope that this is all just they're half interested and they didn't put any You know, they didn't put any premium at all on the round robin round. Like, you know, and again, which I think is stupid unto itself. The idea that they wouldn't want the number one seed blows me away. Like, I don't get that. But at least it does leave open the possibility that because they didn't value it, that they're not putting their best out there, in which case maybe we see the best next week. But, I would hope we see a better performance in the Washington game. But based on how they've played them over the years, I can't imagine that one's going to be good either.
I feel like you're headed for the last seed, and that's it. And you're going to face Carolina unless Pittsburgh somehow mounts a rally and comes back. Montreal, as we told you, Maz, as Murray and I told you, is going to make a run in this thing because they just will. It's just what they do. They would take advantage of something like this. The Canadians were. The Canadians are 2-1 up on Pittsburgh in their little mini preliminary round series. So you're either going to get Pittsburgh or Carolina. And right now it looks like, again, if you finish with that 4 seed, which I just feel like you're destined for, because they don't care about these games. They told you they don't care about these games, which might be the only silver lining, right? As you just mentioned, you know, they're purposely half-assing it, which, you know, that would be good news. I also think it's stupid for the reason you said, and also that's arrogant or cocky to think you're that good you can flip the switch. You know, you can't flip the switch against that Tampa team. Tampa's better than you, and you got to be firing on all cylinders to beat them, and they're not even close. I think their laissez-faire attitude on this is reflected in Tuukka Rask. Jimmy, cue up, please, Tuukka post-game last night about losing the number one seed and what that means.
If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, the situation is what it is, and I think the worst thing's going to happen is we're going to lose the locker room and our practice rink. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, yeah, you got to beat anybody anyway. So.
Okay, so the team clearly didn't care where they finish, and it's reflected in their play, and hopefully that's what it is. And when he says lose the room, I think people got confused with that. People thought it was a comment about players sniping at each other. No, what the higher seeds get the better locker rooms. And so the number one seed gets to use the Maple Leafs home room in Scotiabank, which apparently is most home locker rooms are, is a palatial, beautiful, big locker room, and the other teams have to use the visitors' locker rooms or sub-locker rooms. And so the Bruins have now been kicked out of the good locker room, which, like, I don't know. There's a little competition element to that, don't you? Don't you want to walk around the hotels and the bubbles saying, how's your crappy little locker room? We got the big one because we're the best. Like, I don't know. The fact that they didn't care about winning the games to me is, it says something. And I'll say one more time, Maz. The Bruins played this great game against Tampa in March. There was a regular season game at the Garden. I think it was the second to last game before the pandemic hit. So it was the first week of March. It was at the Garden. There were fights all over the place. It was a great hockey game that the Bruins lost. But they pretty much went toe-to-toe with the Lightning. The Lightning got physical. The Bruins responded. It's one of those great, you know, sort of signature regular season games. You get a handful a year, and that was one of them. And the Bruins, that game meant something to the Bruins. It meant something to them, even though it had no real bearing on the standings, no real bearing on the seedings. All it was we're going to see again, and we're trying to make a statement. So they felt that way in March. Why wouldn't they feel that way yesterday?
You got me. I don't understand it either. I don't. I'm as mystified by it as anybody. And really, you know, now there's actually something at stake. You know, you win that game, you beat the Capitals, you got a chance at that number one seed. And then, and the reason this is important, like, you know, this has got nothing to do with home ice, obviously, or anything of the like. But if you're the number one seed, you're going to get the weakest team all the way through. So when Tuukka says you got to beat everybody anyway, no, you don't.
No, you didn't. Yeah, you didn't last year.
Right. No, you don't have to beat everybody. Sometimes they beat themselves or someone else picks them off for you. That's sort of the whole point. And if you're the number one seed and it worked out in such a way that Tampa is two and Tampa and Washington are 2 and 3, put them in whatever order you want. Well, they're going to have to play each other in the conference semis, and you get the worst team left. So that one of them gets knocked off. You don't have to face both of them in the postseason when it comes to it. Like, I can't believe that they didn't put emphasis on this. It wasn't a complete throwaway. You can't just treat it like the preseason and get the same thing out of it. It doesn't work that way.
Okay,
but do you really think that they didn't care, or is that just what was the thing to say at that point? I mean, because he can't get out there and say, well, yeah, it would have been better if we won because then we could have played that sucky Carolina team, but now we have to play a real team. Like, he can't say that.
No, but Marshall, I'm going back to what the team was saying during the pandemic, which is that, you know, effectively the vibes coming out of there were, we're going to treat this like a preseason and ramp up to it. We don't want to get guys hurt. That's sort of what the objective is going to be. And I just think there was more at stake than that. Now, I don't know if that means you go harder in workouts, you know, whatever, or you play, you know, they had an exhibition game against Columbus last week. Half-ass that one all you want. And I sort of throw that in the pile, too, because they haven't looked much different in these two games than they did against Columbus.
Right. It's just a continuation. It's the way they, and they did, this is sort of what we're going off hook. They've been signaling this for a while, you know, how they're going to treat these games. And when, you know, when the reporting on it was a couple weeks ago, Maz, they sort of implied that maybe Chara takes a game or two off or Bergeron takes a game or two off. And it was sort of reflected that they're going to handle this more like preseason games on the lineup. The scary part is that they're all out there. You know, they're not throwing out. Those guys are getting real minutes. So that's what makes it even scarier, frankly. But they got to figure out, you know, to me, the number one story is just the overall vibe of the team. Like, what happened to it? Where are you guys? You know, you had it great for so long this year. And it's just, it feels like the apocalypse zapped you. And so that to me is, you know, that's the number one story. Then there's smaller lineup things. Like, they got to figure out, their first line, again, is getting smushed. Their first line is not producing. And I was trying to dig up some quotes. Boston Sports Inf have a great nugget here on that first line and their production in the last several playoff games. I'm going to try and find it for you. And then they got to figure out the lower lines too, because last night it was Krejci was once again the second center in terms of ice time, and I thought Krejci played well and all of that. But DeBrusk goes down to Coyle's line and plays the off wing and is totally invisible. So I don't think that works. I don't think you can put DeBrusk on his off wing. You got to figure out who's playing with Krejci and Coyle, and you got to, you know, one of those guys has got to emerge, and it really doesn't matter who, you know, but either Krejci or Coyle have to step up and be that legit second line presence. So there's like a lot of little things inside of just the overall point to me is, damn, what happened to the team? What happened to the freaking team? All right, so there's your Bruins reset. I want to get you that first line stat as well. I'll get you that. But your thoughts on everything at 617-779-0985 to you right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now a minute and a half remaining in regulation. 2-2. Far circle fired by Gord. They score. The rebound kicked out in front. And it looked like it might have been Johnson who got that loose puck to make it a 3-2 Lightning lead.
Waiting minutes, important game, and they just sort of half-assed it on a line shift. Got two guys in behind them. That was a bad goal. Not a, you know, I'm not talking about Rask necessarily. A little bit of a loose rebound, but just overall team play and awareness and sort of intensity at a key moment, and that just sort of says it all. What happened to these guys? 617-779-0985. Jimmy, let's start with John in the car on those Boston Bruins. John, go ahead. You're up next.
Belga, you should be happy they're not getting the number one seed. They don't see Montreal in the first round, and probably not until the finals.
So, for matchup-wise, you're right. Thanks, John, for the call. I get to avoid Montreal and that heartache.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to enjoy losing to Carolina or Pittsburgh or anyone else. You know, that ain't going to make me feel any better, frankly, because if they're playing the way they're playing, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. They're port.
Oh, yeah. And look, again, I mean, I disagree with you on Montreal. Like, I'll take Montreal. If the Bruins are the number one seed and playing right, they kill Montreal. They will kill Montreal.
Dangerous, dangerous team as you're seeing it right now. Brian in Taunton has a Celtics thought for us. Go ahead, Brian. You're up next.
Hey guys, how you doing? Oh, my God. NBC Sports ought to be ashamed of themselves. And that dude, Sherrod, what is he thinking? All he did was give cannon fodder to the rest of the league. They put the league on notice. That wraps it up by itself. What a bunch of idiots. Thanks, guys.
Okay, babe. I mean, seriously, that headline. I mean, Celtics put league and Raptors on notice after shredding the Nets.
Mm.
Like, that is, you've got to be kidding me.
I mean, seriously, talk about the shot heard around the world. That one was reverberating all over the planet. People were talking about it in countries where they didn't even know what the NBA is. Did you see what the Celtics did to the Nets last night? Wow, shockwaves.
It was one of the most dominant performances we've seen from the Celtics all season, writes Sherrod. Who I'm not ripping on. This should be any Celtics writer. If this is green teamerism, run rampant. So it's nothing to do with Sherrod. But it does have a lot to do with NBC Sports Boston. We are not exactly Mike Wallace banging down the door when it comes to our Celtics coverage. We write here, the team's 149-115 win over Brooklyn did more than just pad their record, which is the third best in the East right now. Consider Wednesday's whacking of the Nets as a warning shot to the Toronto Raptors. Do you think Toronto looks at that game and says, we now have to take the Celtics team seriously?
No, of course not. And if they do, then Toronto's soft. I am seriously starting to wonder about the media in this town again. Like, no, I'm not joking. This is laughable. They beat the Nets, and all of a sudden it's this warning shot to the rest of the league because they beat the freaking Nets. If Kyrie and Durant were there, I might give it to you. But it's the Nets. Like, what? It is. It's embarrassing. NBC Sports Boston, for that headline, should be embarrassed. They should have their media credentials revoked for a day.
Another new low. Here's Sully in Boston on Belichick Brady. We did a lot of quarterback talk earlier with Brady speaking down in Tampa. We'll play more cuts coming up here in a minute. And Cam Newton, former teammate of Cam Newton's, wondering if he can take Belichick's hard coaching. Go ahead, Sully. What do you got for us?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's going to work. Are you hearing a mess?
No, I think he's talking to someone in the background. Sully!
Sully!
Yeah, okay. Yeah, try again.
Hold it like a pizza.
Hello, hello.
Oh, hi. There you go. All right.
You're on there.
I don't care if it's the Washington Generals. If you hang a $150 on a team without your point guard, then I think we're going to do all right in the playoffs.
Oh,
but anyhow, what? I mean, that's 150 points. What do you mean?
So what? It means
that's nothing. That's the most points scored in a game this whole season by any team.
Who cares?
By any team in the league.
What does that mean?
What does that get you?
It goes to show that, like, if you have seven people in double digits, that's serious business. But anyhow, I don't know where you come up with these knuckleheads that call in and say Bill Belichick has nothing to do. It's all Tom Brady. Bill Belichick has nothing to do. He won that Super Bowl against the Rams 2 years ago single-handedly. That was him the entire time. And I just don't understand how these people call in and say this ragtime nonsense. And I just felt the need to say that.
Thank you, Sal. Thanks for calling. We don't want any old ragtime nonsense here, Maz.
No, as opposed to, 149 points meaning everything.
That's not. against
little
the
known fact, if you score 140, it actually counts as two wins.
Joe in Vermont on the Habs, and they're about to knock out the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. Joe, go ahead.
I mean, like, it's almost worse than having a pandemic watch the Bruins play like this.
It's unbelievable.
I'm like, it's not funny. It's just like, God, I hope this is just practice for them, because every game they get a little better, but it's still not okay. I do have one thing, Sager. Like, I thought McAvoy played pretty good. I know you were pretty hard on the D, but I was okay with McAvoy last night. I did have a question. Did you see the end of the Habs-Penguins game last night?
No, I missed it.
Okay, so the Penguins pulled their goalie at the very end of the game on a power play. So they're playing 6-on-4, power play ended with about 40 seconds left in the game. Habs were in trouble. They were really pressured, and they made a mental error, and they iced the puck. The refs stopped the game, skated over to the Zamboni door, had a medical staff guy skate over to the Penguins bench and put what looked like a piece of tape on the freaking door for the bench, giving the Habs a chance to, like, catch their breath. And I just thought, like, this is what Maz is missing about the Bruins-Canadians rivalry, is it's just, like, this destiny crap. And it's like, oh, God, please, please let the Penguins beat these guys. Because I would rather lose to the Penguins than the Habs.
Of course, I'd rather lose to anybody than the Habs. Thanks for the call. Maz, first of all, Maz, why do you have your head in your hands? Why are you, do you not like his phone?
Well, I want to thank Drew for calling and let me know that they put tape on the bench because it's destiny. It's that kind of fake crap.
And first of all, I'd like to thank him for that. And secondly, this destiny fake crap with the Canadians. If you want to tell me there's like some league-wide conspiracy to get the Canadians in now, is that what the idea is?
No,
if the officials are on the take? Is that what we're talking about?
It's in these... In these hideous, off the worst year of many people's life, in 2020, where every day is worse than the day before it, and it's never going to end, it makes perfect sense for the Canadians, who suck, to come out of this thing and go on a run, and for the Bruins, who look like the best team in the league, to come back and absolutely crap their pants. It just makes perfect sense, and the fact that you don't see it to me is surprising.
Well, no, I see everything. I just don't believe it the way you do. Like, I see the possibility of it happening, but I'll tell you this. I don't think it's going to matter because the Bruins are going to get picked off way before the end of the straight. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think they're going to play the Bruins are going to end up playing someone else in the first round, and they may get picked off before they even see Montreal.
I mean, they were the best team in the league all season long, and they come back, and in this bubble, they're probably the worst. I mean, maybe the Rangers got blown out in three games. But either way, I mean, just one night and day from what they were before the apocalypse. Nick in Plymouth on the Bruins. Are you still there, Nick? You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. I just don't agree with the way the Bruins are playing right now. I think they should be playing with the tenacity that they want to win every game so they can show everybody who they are. They worked this hard to get where they are. They shouldn't be worried about... You know what I mean? They should be worried about every single game. You know what I mean? I played hockey my whole life. I played at Catholic Memorial. You know what I mean? We didn't take it easy on anybody.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, thanks for your call and your experience. Very valuable there. You know, the hockey callers love to tell you where they played and how they played. You know,
yeah, I played at CM for Bill Hanson. I played for Hanson. Yeah, he wouldn't tolerate that. He'd make us beat everybody 11-1.
Here's what I wanted to know. Here's what I want to know. Why were the Bruins so intent and set and felt the need to make a statement against the Lightning when they played them in March, but didn't have that same need last night? Someone has to explain that to me and where they lost that along the way. Back to your phones. What, Maz?
No, I was just saying it's a really interesting sort of, like, are they aware that they turned the lights back on and everybody's playing for real now? it makes you want to say that, though. Like, you guys do understand these games count, right? Like, you understand that? You want to look at them and grab them by the collar and go, the lights are on. It's time to play. Let's go.
So I have those numbers from our guy Boston Sports Imp on the Perfection line, the former erection line, which is a little limp. Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak in their last eight playoff games. Bergeron, 1 goal, 4 points, -6. Marchand, 2 goals, 5 points, -4. Pastrnak, 2 goals, 4 points, -10. In their last eight playoff games, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak are combined -20, which is playing with the numbers a little bit, but the three of them are -6, -4, -10. Okay, so that seems to me like a problem. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls on solid landlines with more Brady sound from today down in Tampa. Give us a jingle. Here's Marshall Hook's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just... just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think every football season's a big challenge in one way or another. Obviously, for me, you know, changing teams after a long period of time, you know, giving me an opportunity to really look at myself and what I want to continue to, you know, achieve in my career and think that I can bring to a team. It's been different having the opportunity, you know, over this time to, you know, move and then to, you know, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. So, you know, you forget, man, that's really tough. Like all the different terminologies and, you know, you're going back a very long time in my career to, you know, to really have to put the mental energy in like I did. So I have to work at it pretty hard physically still. You know, I put a lot of time and energy into making sure I'm feeling good in order to perform at my best. But mentally, I think that's been the thing that's, you know, obviously has its challenges. And I think you couple that with, you know, the coronavirus situation and became even more difficult. So I think conversations we probably would have had, you know, in April we're having now. And I think that part is a bit challenging too. So, you know, the only thing you do is, you know, adjust to the situation, adapt the best way you can, put as much time and energy now as we can into it. I think the reality is the clock's ticking on everybody. And we're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day trying to get used to one another and embrace the challenge and see it as an opportunity to see, you know, what we can become.
Brady speaking as quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today down in Tampa. So, again, just as someone who is interested in seeing the content, there's teams there where they're practicing, they're on the field, there's video of it, and the quarterbacks are talking to the media. Most notably, Tom Brady. We've seen him on the field, we've seen him in the practice gear, we've seen him throwing to his teammates. And here in New England, have we seen Cam Newton yet since they've been out to practice? Have there been any? I don't follow all their social media posts, all that, but have you seen anything, Mass?
I have not.
Okay, so I don't even know if we've seen one picture of him, and he certainly hasn't been made available to the media yet. The team did say quarterbacks will be available at the end of the week, so maybe there's something coming tomorrow with all three of them. Who knows? But I find it so ridiculous that Bill tries to control the narrative like that when the narrative's already out of the bag, when Cam Newton is already doing his own interviews that he's posting on his own YouTube channels, talking about how Bill Belichick's going to mesh with him and the plays that Josh McDaniels should be running for him, which is the exact thing Bill doesn't want. And Cam Newton's already done it. So we've been talking about that today. Tom Brady's at the press conference down in Tampa. Also talked about really fascinating comments from a former Patriot named Kyle Love, who was in New England early on in his career and then went to Carolina and played 5 years with Cam Newton. So this Kyle Love has intimate knowledge of Cam Newton and intimate knowledge of how the Patriots do business. And Kyle Love wonders whether Cam Newton's a good fit. He said, and here's his quote that's gotten a lot of run. A lot of people have reacted to it, but he basically said he didn't know if Cam Newton can handle his coaching. He says, this is just my opinion, but I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they may have felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout, he said. They never really corrected to the point Bill used to correct Tom. So that's an interesting perspective from a former teammate of Newton's and a former Patriot. So he has some insight on that. So we've been talking about that and the Patriots and the Bruins. We'll wrap up with your calls. We have Sean in Medford on that Belichick-Newton story. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I'm curious to know why it's even a question as to whether or not Cam Newton is going to be able to mesh with Belichick's coaching style. I see nowhere in his history as a professional athlete or a collegiate athlete that he wasn't coachable. And I take my cues from Greg Olsen, who's quite a notable tight end that played with him for many, many years in Carolina. And he only has the most glorious praise for him. So I don't even know why it's an issue. He's never demonstrated anything in his career that would suggest that he'd be difficult to coach.
Well, that we know of. I mean, we're not in the room. We're not, excuse me, I just hung up by accident. We'll let you go. Instead of hanging up on you, I just hung up on the simulcast. I mean, how would we know, Mass? How would we know how he takes it? I mean, I agree that those that vilify Newton, you know, overdo it because he's not really been caught up in anything really bad. Like, his big missteps, he once mistreated a female reporter during a press conference, right? Mm-hmm. That one got away from him. And there's people like me who just don't like the dancing and celebrating. And, you know, I'm just not that guy. What are you laughing at, Hook?
What a shock that you're not that guy. I mean, what a glorious shock, really, in the grand scheme of things.
I'm not, but he's never been proven to be like a coach killer or a team killer or someone who, you know, doesn't support his teammates or tries to undermine his. He's never been that guy. So, like, he doesn't deserve that. But if you're someone who's played with him and he carries himself a certain way and needs to be coached a certain way, then, I think that the Kyle Love perspective is legitimate.
Well, and here's why I would take Kyle Love's word over Greg Olsen, because Kyle Love has also played for Belichick. So, Greg Olsen, I know the caller says I'll take my cues from Greg Olsen. Lots of guys in Carolina have said good things about Cam Newton. Norv Turner coached him, says good things about Cam Newton. And I think there are a lot of good things about Cam Newton. But I would say this about just about any player coming in here to play. It's different here. It's different. The expectations and the demands are different. Bill's going to be on him all the time. Now, the one question I have is Bill going to do to Cam Newton in his, you know, first day in the reviewing film in front of the team? Is he going to do what he did to Tom Brady in year 20? And I just can't imagine that Bill's going to approach it the same way. I think he's going to have to win Newton's trust, build up to it, and then, you know, eventually get to a point where he can critique the quarterback's play and the quarterback's not going to take it personally. But, Mike, you know, the stuff about Newton being sensitive and being immature, and that was there at the very beginning in Carolina. Steve Smith used to bitch about that. And you know, he thought, you know, there was too much with Newton just being a baby, and Newton had some growing up to do. So maybe some of those qualities are still there. You know, when you're an athlete like Newton, you don't get criticized a whole hell of a lot until you get to the NFL.
Absolutely. To me, it's how it fails. If it fails, that's how it fails. I think Newton's healthy. It's just my guess. And I think it's going to be a culture fit. You know, the coaching's hard here. And I know you're probably right. Bill's going to, you know, tailor his approach to Newton to get the most out of him. So he knows he can't come in, you know, both barrels and just rip the guy the first day. He's probably not going to do that. But the coaching's going to be there. It's going to be hard. And can Cam Newton keep up with it? Can he or put up with it is really what I mean. You know, can he put up with it? Does he want it? Will he take it? Will he take it constructively? Because his former teammates said when he got that in Carolina, he would pout, or the coaches were worried about it. And so, I mean, he's not the only one saying that. You got the Chris Sims cut there. Chris Sims was talking about this with Mike Florio on their show the other day, and he said the exact same thing. Go ahead. Let me hear that, please.
Yeah, well, I think that's the sentiment around the NFL, is that he was, you know, in Carolina, that he was the first pick of the draft. He's super talented. You know, he won some games single-handedly, you know, with his pure ability. And, yeah, at most places, what that tends to lead to is a guy kind of becoming the king of that team, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, oh, hey, man, he shows up on Sunday. He's ready to go, blah, 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 right? You know, so then, yes, you know, naturally from there, when you're one of your best players, coaches, the organization, they're very sensitive into making sure that player feels good on a daily basis. And that's my biggest concern up in New England. You know, Kyle Love, he was in New England when I was there. He's a very smart defensive player, cerebral that way, your typical New England guy. But, you know, and he's got good perspective here. This was my biggest concern. Something I kind of discussed on my podcast right when Cam Newton was signed with New England, Mike, is just, you know, I've said it's 80% boom, 20% bust. And my bust factor was, yes, can he handle the everyday, you know, rigors of the NFL with the New England Patriots? And that is, yes, nobody being a cheerleader for you, and you make a 20-yard out throw, and they just go, you know, good. Hey, good throw, Cam. It's not like, all right, way to go. Oh, hey, whoa, did you see that throw, everybody? It's not going to be none of that. You know, when you mess up, it's going to be pointed out in front of the whole team, and there's going to be some constructive criticism that goes with that. I don't think he's going to cuss out Cam Newton like he did Brady quite yet. He's probably going to get to know the guy. But between that and just the attention to detail and the humbleness and do your job and on to the next play. That is my question. Can Cam Newton handle that day after day after day?
Okay. I think it's a fair question to ask until we see it.
Sure it is.
Because not everyone, you know, there's a lot of great success stories of guys coming in here and taking the coaching and, you know, where we thought maybe that they couldn't. But there's a lot of guys that never did, and it never did work. It didn't work with Michael Bennett. It didn't work with, and why do I keep forgetting? Chris Long. It didn't, you know. They weren't culture fits, and Bennett was gone in the middle of the first year and Long left after the first year, even though they won a Super Bowl. It's just not for them. And so maybe it's not for Newton. Maybe it is. And I'd like to think, Maz, you know, the big caveat is that Newton, it's just 1 year, and it's his chance to get his career back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would like to think that whether Cam could handle it long-term or not, or if it's really the right place for him or not, this is a 4-5 month deal. You know, put up with it for 4 or 5 months, get your career back, and then go make all your money, and then, you know, and then you're the man again. So it's not like he's got to put up with it for 20 years like Brady. He's got to put up with it for 1 year. He should be able to do that.
Well, I also think that Cam Newton, or I'm sorry, Bill Belichick should be able to adapt a little bit. I mean, his job as coach is to get the best out of his players at some level. And when you're talking about the quarterback, you're talking about obviously the most important player on the field. You would think a good coach, which we all agree Bill Belichick is not only good but the best, he should be able to figure out the best way to get something out of Cam Newton, which is not, in all likelihood, anything close to the same as the best to get something out of Tom Brady. So I think it's a test for Belichick, too.
Anthony?
He can't treat Newton the same way. He can't treat Newton the same way he treated Brady. It's not going to work. If he does that, and I'm talking about at the beginning now, okay, you want to tell me in week 10 it's different, fine. But right out of the gate, he's going to be all over him? If he's doing it that way, he doesn't want the guy here.
Mike, do we know that Stidham can take a critique?
Ooh, what do you believe, Jimmy?
I'm asking, are we sure that Jared Stidham can take a critique?
Hmm. Oh, God. You notice how Stu has this conversation while he's looking at his phone?
Yeah, no, I do notice that.
That's always important to know.
Yes.
I have no idea.
By the way, also worth mentioning that the Patriots have sent out a release that the quarterbacks will be talking Friday. Hoyer, Newton, and Stidham in that order.
What time?
11:35.
Hmm. Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow.
Perfect. Awesome. Content.
Hoyer, Newton, Stidham. Interesting that that's the order, isn't it?
Don't sleep on Brian Hoyer, Jimmy. Do not sleep on Brian Hoyer.
At least he can take criticism.
I love it. So, Stu, do I know that Jared Stidham can take criticism? Hell no. I have no freaking clue. And maybe he can't. Maybe that explains why the Patriots, you know, kind of gave up on him. You know, maybe they had it in his mind that he was going to be the guy. And there's something they did not like from Jared Stidham this offseason, Maz.
I feel the same way. And again, I personally would not sleep on Brian Hoyer. and with any luck, I mean, given that Cannon's out, Dan Skipper could be playing right tackle for him, for all I know. Jimmy, who shouldn't we sleep on?
Brian Hoyer.
The final word will come your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
Obviously, summertime. It's what we do. We're going to a little best of, a little best of action.
No, hold on. We can't hear the replay of you screaming with your mic off.
I wanted to hear that too. Yeah,
that was my favorite part of the show.
I had zero time to edit it down. Sorry.
Well, okay.
Phone issues, this thing, that thing. I didn't have time.
Fine.
It's my fault that we're going to the archive, so blame me.
Okay, but let's do it.
All right, you suck, Jimmy.
I do suck.
Can we get it for tomorrow?
Yeah, we can get it for tomorrow.
To me, it was like
we might have something else for tomorrow.
He was yelling at someone in the hallway. It was awesome. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but this is from the year of our Lord, 2015. You guys arguing about the Patriots.
Jay in Andover, waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Jay. What do you got?
Yeah, you guys have basically had the Patriots convicted since the first day of this. Okay, based on what? Mortensen's tweet.
Hey, Jay.
Go to your Google machine and Google New York Times.
That's the point. Now,
Jay, you're asking a question. I'm giving you an answer. Go to your Google machine. What do I base it on? Anyone out there, Google it. New York Times in cat and mouse game Patriots. It'll pull up. Very interesting story from a couple of years ago about the number of complaints lodged against the Patriots by various teams in the league. But start with that. Google it.
Well, what proof did you have?
I went on my gut, for crying out loud. And so I think that they thumb their nose a lot at the league.
Where have they all...
Ask these same people whether they think Roger Clemens is guilty, and they all say yes. And my answer would be to Jay, based on what?
Based on what?
Based on what?
What?
What? Hearsay?
What?
Or your gut? Because at the end of the day, when you're really using common sense in your gut, or do you have hard evidence? You tell me.
No, but what I'm saying is, you and the media.
I just think that is such bullcrap. It's a matter of convenience, right? When it's a guy you like, you don't want it to be true. When it's a guy you don't like, you'll bury him just as quickly as you're saying we're burying Brady. And you know what? I don't hate the Patriots.
Based on what?
Go back and listen to the stuff from last season after the Chicago game, which is in week six or seven or whatever the hell it was. And I told you that I felt better about that team than I felt about them in years.
Based on what?
Go to your Google machine. What do I base it on?
Hearsay?
Google it.
Or your gut?
What?
What?
That guy didn't stand a chance.
That was 2015.
That's what I was told.
Well, we've been doing that a long time.
Good old days, yeah. Need another cheating scandal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.